We can stand on it. Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground, the sinking sand.
Thank you, Lord.
I dare not trust.
Thank you, Lord.
The sweetest frame, but wholly lean.
Thank you, Father.
The leaning of my entire being on Jesus' name. When Christ shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. I'm looking for that day. Glory, hallelujah. I'm looking for that day. That's the blessed hope that we have. Glory, hallelujah. I want to talk today from a subject, unbroken. Glory, hallelujah, unbroken. I put it out on Facebook early this morning. I don't know, somebody caught it. One person caught it. I told them the message would be unbroken. This what I believe the Lord has put on our hearts. My wife and I went to see the movie. Anybody saw the movie? All right, Unbroken. It's a true story about Louis Zamperini and the things that he suffered as a prisoner of war in Japan. That was the title of the movie. But this Unbroken is a little different. A little different. Walk with me to Psalm 34. I am thinking in my mind, sometimes surveying in my mind and reflectively thinking why certain things may not happen for us collectively as a local congregation, as this part of the body of Christ. And I would submit to you today is because there may be too high of a percentage of us who are unbroken. Unbroken. And this was the sentiment of my heart as I was preparing. The Lord put this on my mind. Excuse me. And we need to understand that there's things that needs to be broken in all of our lives. And until certain things are broken, God will not get the ultimate and maximum use out of us that he desires to get out of us. Because some of us who are in that percentage, and all of us, I believe, have a certain percentage of unbrokenness in our own lives. And that's what God, I believe, wants to deal with on this morning. There's a list of things that are unbroken. Our human will, our personal wills are unbroken. That's human nature, because even in the history of our brothers and sisters who have long passed, the children of Israel, God in certain times called them stiff-necked and rebellious. So if something is stiff, that means it's not broken. So it's human nature to have a certain amount of unbrokenness. It's human nature to rebel against authority, any authority. That's just innate in us as humans because, again, of the sin of Adam that was passed down genetically to the entire human race. So if you're sitting here and think that you don't have any unbrokenness in you, you're misled. There's a certain level of unbrokenness in all of us. Did you hear me say us? Because I got some in me that I want to deal with. Amen. So our will is the main thing that's unbroken. Because we want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, for the reasons we want to do it, and how we want to do it, and we don't want nobody telling us what we can and what we cannot do. Unbroken. Unbroken. Some of our desires need to be broken. Some of our ambitions, if they're not God-directed and God-controlled, needs to be broken, but they're unbroken. Psalms 34 and verse 18, I have the Amplified Version. Here's what it says. The Lord is close to those who are of a broken heart and saves such as are crushed with sorrow for sin and are humble and thoroughly penitent. There are some who haven't repented, and your heart is unbroken. You think you're getting along just as good or even better than some of the folks who were saved. You think, I got what they're trying to get as far as material things or material possessions or stations in life. But I hear the Bible says, what will a man give in exchange for a soul? And there are hearts that are unbroken. And if your heart is unbroken, according to this scripture, God's not close to you. Is that what he said? The Lord is close to those who are of a broken heart. First of all, when we come to God, our hearts have to be broken for the sin that we have committed all the time up until we came to God for salvation. Our hearts needs to break. It needs to break, and we need to humble ourselves. Some of us are not humble at all. Some of us try to pretend and have false humility. But God can see through all of that. And so can some of us, by the way. Unbroken. The reason that things, part of the reasons that things are not, I think, going as they could be going, and we're not as far along collectively as an assembly, is because there's too much unbrokenness in our midst. Everybody has their own agenda. Everybody will fit God in according to their time slot and their schedule. Unbroken. God cannot use us if we stay in that unbroken condition. We think, like Ford used to say, that we have a better idea. There's no idea that's better than God's word. I don't care how much letters you got behind your name, PhD, whatever D. there's nothing wrong with letters. I'm trying to get a few more myself, but I can never get anything that is more ideal than God's word. So there's an introspective look that we have to look at and say, Lord, where's the unbrokenness in me? Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see, this is the communication that we need to have with God. Because even if we don't get to the point where we have this communication with God, God already says, I know your thoughts. afar off. So we might as well break ourselves down in humility and say, search me, oh God. Huh? Because even if you don't ask God to search you, he still sees you. He sees us. So there's some brokenness. There's some brokenness that needs to take place. And I think the beginning of the year is a good time for us to examine what needs to be broken in our lives. What needs to be broken so we can go forward and do great things for God. But God has to break, or we have to, some of the things we can break ourselves if we will submit ourselves to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God, and then there's some things that God will break. But we have to be willing to look at our own condition on our best days. When we think we're hitting it on all points, we still have to take a measure of humility and say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Any righteousness that I would claim is as filthy rags. Huh? We only stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But there's pride needs to be broken. Lord, help us today, because we accomplished two or three things on our journey and can't nobody tell us anything. Just a couple things we accomplish and we're lifted up. But I hear the Bible say God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I hear the Bible say, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, and God will exalt you in due time. In due time, let God exalt you. Pride needs to be broken. And don't fool yourself. There are situations that will arise, and you think that you've broken pride once and for all, and a situation will pop up, and pride will say, hello, will make you act out of character. And you, okay, I know what I'm talking about. You think you had that puppy pinned up on a leash and in a doghouse, you know, and then all of a sudden a situation will come across in your life and that joker will get off that leash and he won't be a puppy no more. He'd be a full-grown attack dog. Pride. The Bible said it goes before destruction. Amen. Pride needs to be broken. I found some of us with those first two things. Our will needs to be broken. Our pride needs to be broken. Sometimes we think of ourselves more than what we really are. Lord have mercy. Who gave you such an inflated measure of yourself? Huh? The audacity for you to think that you all that and everybody else. What is beneath you? Huh? What is beneath us? Did we forget that we came from dirt and we are dirt, the dust of the ground? And if it was not for the Spirit of God that breathed into us, we'd still be dirt? So what does dirt have to do to exalt itself? That's foolishness. But some of us think that our dirt is better than somebody else's dirt. Some of us think that we're refined dirt. Some of us think that, well, Pastor Jackson's dirt was on the side of the road, but my dirt came from Best Buy. My dirt came from Lowe's. My dirt came from Home Depot. Your dirt is dirt just like my dirt. Somebody just fooled you and made you pay for it. But it's dirt nonetheless. Huh? Unbroken. Unbroken. Psalms 51, in that penitent psalm that David penned after he was confronted by Nathan the prophet. In verse 17, here's the word of the Lord. It says, "My sacrifice, the sacrifice acceptable to God, is a broken spirit." A broken spirit. Some of us are too spirited. We got too much. You always got something to say. Lord, have mercy. Let me stick with this word. You always got something to say, but you ain't doing nothing. Always pointing out the problem and never bringing a solution. Broken. My sacrifice, the sacrifice acceptable to God, is a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, broken down with sorrow for sin, and humbly and thoroughly penitent. Such, O God, you will not despise. Something our hearts have to feel crushed at the acknowledgement of our own sin. And the Bible says if we say that we have not sinned, then we're liars. Now, he wrote that to saints. Check the Bible. He wrote it to saints. So, unfortunately, saints sin sometimes. But what else did he write? If we confess our sins, that's where the breaking down part, comes into part. If we confess our sins, don't let pride keep you from confessing your sins. Don't let a false estimation of yourself or your position or whatever title you think you hold, don't let that stop you from confessing your sins. Because if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the word of God. So that should aid us in breaking ourselves. But we sometimes don't want to be broken. We want to remain unbroken. I got to move quickly here. There's some examples. Anybody want to, anybody want to be used by God in 2015? Anybody want to be used by God in 2015? It's going to require some breaking of some things. Anybody has been used by God in the past? Then you can if you really been used by God, you have already experienced some breaking. You have already experienced some breaking. But I got news for you. As we move forward in 2015, there's some more breaking that's going to come. Because God has left us some examples where he won't use something until he breaks it. Until he breaks it. All right, let's go to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. So if you came in here unbroken today, we don't want you to leave out the same way. We want you to be broken. Not broke, but broken. Broken. All right? I'm sweating. Mark 6, here Jesus, around the 41st verse, Jesus is about to feed a multitude. There's several accounts in the Gospels about him feeding the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Excuse me. But here, we look in Mark, in chapter 6, verse 41. Here, the setting. Jesus had told the disciples to have the people sit down. Verse 41 says, "And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, and praising God, gave thanks, and broke the loaves, and kept on giving them to the disciples to set before the people. And he also divided the two fish among them all. While the loaves were whole, they were of no use to the 5,000 people. While the fish were intact, they could not be divided to the over 5,000 people. But when Jesus received it, right? When he gave thanks, and when he blessed it and broke it, then he was able to dispense it. We learned a lesson, or we should get an object lesson. We have to bring and present ourselves to Jesus. The Bible says in Romans, I believe, that we have to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Place ourselves. We sing about this. My life is in your hands. Place ourselves truly in the hands of God, right? In the hands of our Savior, and allow him to break us, because he knows where to make the break. And allow Jesus to break us and then dispense us and use us so that we might benefit everybody that we come in contact with. Those two loaves, those five loaves and two fish, they benefited over 5,000 people. I believe that Jesus wants to break somebody's life. He wants to tear into, with his own hands, tear into somebody's life so that we might take the very life of God and see when Jesus blessed it, then he broke it. So if we present ourselves to God and ask God's blessings upon us and we offer ourselves as a sacrifice, yes, he will bless, right? And then after he blesses, after the blessing comes the breaking. But a lot of us want the blessing, but we don't want the breaking. Huh? We want God to bless me, oh Lord, bless me. Yeah, we want God to bless us. Then we sing, enlarge my territory. Well, how in the world is he going to enlarge it if he don't break you? Huh? Those loaves being whole didn't feed 5,000 people. But when he broke them, they had already been blessed. And when he broke them, then he said, divide them. And when God breaks, there's going to be some residual effects. Huh? They fed over 5,000 people and took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces. Who wants to be broken? Or who wants to remain unbroken? That's the problem. One of the problems, we're unbroken. But God wants to break us. Put your life. Really, consciously, intentionally, in 2015, in the hands of God, and let him break me. Use me, Lord. Yeah, we sing it. We sing it. Yes, we do. We sound good. And we sound convincing. But after the song is over, and we have to go out and face the multitude, are we broken? Are we a loaf? No, man. Ain't nobody gonna break me. I gotta stay like I am. No. Break me, God. Break me. Break me. Bless me first, and then break me. Lord. Remember the wrestler who wrestled with God, Jacob. He wrestled with him. He got broke and blessed. Everybody saw that this man was limping. Wait a minute, what happened? He had an encounter with God. When God breaks us, people will know it. Oh, yeah. When God genuinely breaks us, the world, saved folk and unsaved folk, will know that we've been in the hands of God. God. And when God breaks us, we will remain humble. We will shoot all the glory to God. But the problem is there's too much unbrokenness, and we think that we're doing this and we're doing that and my this and my that. It's about the kingdom of God. Lord, break me so you can use me. How many have that desire? Now, if you don't have it, then you don't have it, but we're going to pray that you get it, because it's going to cost for us to be broken. So don't front this just because we're in this setting and say, yeah, I got it. If you don't really don't have it, if you don't have it, say, Lord, give me that desire. Oh, Lord, help me to understand why I need that desire. And if you intend to be used by God, you're going to have to be broken. You're going to have to be broken. Jump with me to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, another example of being broken and then used. I want to be used by God, so God's going to have to break me down and build me up, because there's no good thing that dwells in my flesh. Nothing. I can't give my flesh an inch, because if I give my flesh an inch, he's going to take a mile. I can't trust my own flesh, and neither can you. I hear the Bible said in one place, the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is at enmity with God. My flesh is an enemy of God. My flesh, I can't trust my human instincts. I can't even trust my own mind. That's why God has declared in his word, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That's why God has declared, when he has given us the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, he said, we have the mind of Christ. Thank God for the mind of Christ, because the mind of Christ will supersede if we yield to the Spirit of God. Then the mind of Christ can keep this body under subjection. And it will allow me. God is the only one that will give us the desire to humble ourselves. No human being. It is against all humanism and philosophy and the ways of the world to humble yourself. Everybody's talking about you take care of you and look out for number one. Foolishness. That is ungodly. Here's what the Bible said. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he was the very God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but Jesus broke himself down. The Bible said he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now you talk about a major breakdown. That was a major breakdown. The God of glory, God manifested in the flesh, humbling himself and coming down here and living as a man and living as a human being. Now, if God, the one who said, let there be, and there was, if the eternal God can break himself down and come as a servant, he said out of his own mouth in his public ministry, he said, I came to serve and not to be served. Lord, help us to have that Christ-like servant mentality, that we come to serve. How you going to serve? You're going to serve God by serving God's people. You're going to serve God by serving God's creation. I'm talking about saved folk and unsaved folk. Hear what Jesus said in his public ministry. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but I come to call the sinners unto repentance. So if God wants to break us, if God wants to bless us and break us and send us out to the sinners, listen, time out for all of us sitting in here and all we do is sit in here. It's time for us to do what Jesus did. Go out to the sinners. That's what we're supposed to do. Go out to the sinners and dwell amongst the sinners. If the power of God is real in your life, you don't have to worry about sin rubbing off on you. But you are the light of the world. You hear what I said? You're the
the light of the world. A city, the Bible said, that sets upon a hill cannot be hid. The Bible said, let your light shine. Listen, you can't shine among us because we all got the same light that you got. I got a pen here. Lord, have mercy. Very nice pen. It got a little flashlight on it. Yeah, so listen, it doesn't do any good with all this light in the building. Me turning on a flashlight, that looks ridiculous and doesn't do any good for all of us having the light of God, and all we do is shine our little light, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Where are you shining it at? Are you shining it? They got all these lights in the ceiling. You need to take your light, take the light of Jesus Christ out there in the dark world. We don't need your light in here so much. They need it out there. But you got to be broken to do that. Look real silly. Turn the flashlight on so I can see in here. All this light in here. What is he doing? He out of his mind. Huh? We have the light of Christ. They need the light of Christ. They'll be satisfied with, oh, is your light working? Yeah, you're working? Yeah, okay, we're good. Break yourself. Ooh, glory. Uh-oh. I almost had a flashback. I almost had a flashback. Yeah, I almost had a flashback. Thank God for prayer. Amen. 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 But that's what God needs to tell some of us. Break yourself. Yeah. Amen. All right. I got to get another. I asked for Mark, didn't I? 14. I believe this was the woman who had been forgiven much. And Jesus was in a room at Bethany. And this woman had, well, let's read verse 3. And while he was in Bethany, a guest in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of ointment, perfume of pure nard, very costly and precious. And she broke the jar and poured the perfume over his head. All the while, that alabaster box was intact, was no use. Was no use. But she broke it. It cost her something. That was some very costly perfume. It gonna cost us something to be broken. And I believe one account said that the aroma or the perfume filled the entire house. Would to God that we would bring to God what we hold so precious, what we guard with pit bull tenacity from everybody and even God in our own minds. Would to God that we would bring that to the feet of God in humble adoration and submission and break it and pour it on Jesus. Say, Lord, here, I'm not holding back nothing. Here, Lord. And the fragrance, the aroma of that affected everybody in the house. Imagine the aroma and fragrance of the most precious things that we hold dear being placed before Jesus and broken and poured on Jesus. And it affects everybody in the house.
I'm not doing that. That's for somebody else. You're unbroken. You're unbroken. I ain't. He must be out of his mind. You know how long it took me to get here? You know how long it took me? You know how hard I had to work to get this? Huh? Do you know the sacrifice I made to get what I have? And you mean to tell me, fill in the blank? You must be crazy. I'm going to keep my alabaster. Huh? I'm going to keep it locked up. I'm going to put it in a safe, and I'm going to change the combination and the password every month to make sure you don't get it. Mm-hmm. Say what you will. Yeah. I'm going to come. I'm going to contribute. I might even work a little bit, but don't touch my box. Don't you go there. Don't even ask me if I got a box. Unbroken. Unbroken. All right. Can I get one more? Can I point to one more before my voice just goes? We need to have a vision of God. That's what we need. We need a vision of God. Whatever we have allowed to be put on the screen of our mental or intellectual perception about God, we need to change the screensaver. We need to change it. Because the picture has been distorted. The enemy has uploaded a Trojan horse, backdoor virus, and hacked into our minds and caused us to have a distorted view of our holy God. The enemy has been working overtime and has tapped into our life. And see, we left the door open for that rascal. It was an easy hack because some of us have let down on the standards of holiness. So if we let down, listen, it makes common sense. If you got a computer, you need an antivirus software. But now if you have the nerve and the audacity to go online on your new computer without antivirus software, you're going to get a virus from somewhere. And you can't blame nobody but yourself. So what has happened to some of us as we have taken off or we have uninstalled, if you please, the heavenly antivirus software. We have disabled it. It's still there. But we click the disable button. When we want to do what we want to do and don't want to be directed by the Spirit of God, we go into our settings on our spiritual computer and click virus protection, Holy Ghost protection, heavenly protection. Click disable, and I'll get back to it when I get back. And then we disable the protection, not that it's not there, not that we don't have the Holy Ghost, but sometimes we override that protection and we click on disable. You hear what I said? We click on disable and then we have nerve enough to say the devil. The devil didn't do nothing. Listen, God has given us the power over that rascal. Listen, we don't have to fall for his sin. We don't have to fall for his schemes or fall for his devices. All we have to do is stay in line with the very Spirit of the living God. God can warn us. There's an attack coming. There's an attack. But some of us don't want to hear the warning. Sometimes the warnings are boring to us. And we don't want to hear what God has to say. We're going to take our chances. Take chance if you want to. Take chance if you want to. But as for me, listen, time is too short for us to be
messing around with the devil. Time is too short for the devil and my flesh to co-sign something that I want to do. The flesh is always going to partner with the devil. I need, listen, I need to activate and reactivate and download the Holy Ghost. Listen, every time you buy a new computer and you, whatever operating system you got, you stay plugged in. And then when you shut that computer off, it will shut off after it finishes downloading the updates. I need a Holy Ghost update every day of my life. Oh, God, help me today not to close my eyes, not to lay my head down on my pillow until, oh, God, you got to help me, until I get on my knees and get a Holy Ghost update before I shut down this system. What system? My life is in the hands of God. And sometimes those programs say, we're going to update and back up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So while I'm sleeping, the computer is plugged in and is updating, giving me the latest in protection. While we're sleeping, God never sleeps. He watches us. But if we're not connected with Him while we awake, ain't no updates coming. We done unplug the computer and put it in the case. We done disabled all the protection. And God is saying, you need the protection of the Holy Ghost. We're living in these last days, and we need to break ourselves. We need to run a virus scan on our hearts. God, there's some stuff that done got in my heart. There's some stuff that done crept into my heart, and I need tech support. Glory. Hallelujah. I need tech support. I got to come to the Geek Squad, if you please. Where in the world is the Geek Squad for the church? Y'all asking some good questions. The Geek Squad is at prayer meeting. Glory. Hallelujah. That's where the Geek Squad is. When you see that you got a problem, make your way to a prayer meeting. Hallelujah. And say, is something going on? Something ain't right in my spirit. I can't put my finger on it. I gotta go to the Geek Squad. Here is the service desk, and Jesus will service every one of us. But we gotta break ourselves down and humble ourselves and be honest with God and honest with ourselves and say, God, what's your problem? I got an attitude problem. Well, God said, okay, I know how to fix that. There's some software for that. God, I got a pride problem. Jesus said, I know how to fix that. Here, let me plug this in. I'm going to download this in your flash drive. Glory. Hallelujah. God, I need an update. Oh, I ain't spoken in tongues, God, as the Spirit of God gave utterance in a long time. I'm working on a 2008 or a 1985 version of the Holy Ghost. God said, wait a minute. I got an update for you. I got Holy Ghost 2015, the deluxe edition. Glory. It's filled with power and application and demonstration and manifestation. God said, plug in right here. I got a jack for you. Plug it in right here, and you stay there, and I'm going to download. Wait a minute. God said, I got a firewall for you. I'm going to fill you with the fire of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to refill you. I'm going to update you with the Holy Ghost, but you got to break yourself and make it to the help desk. You stay unbroken, you won't be used. You stay unbroken, God can't use you. He can't use you if you ain't broken. I'm gonna stop. My strength is about gone. But we need to be broken. We need to be broken. We need to be broken.
we need to be broken. Break us out of our bad habits. Oh, God. Oh, there's some associations that need to be broken. Glory. Ask yourself, am I unbroken? Ask yourself. This ain't no look at your neighbor type stuff here. Ask yourself, am I unbroken? Ask yourself, what area am I unbroken in? What am I not bringing to Jesus? Get that in your mind. The area or areas, plural, that there's unbrokenness. Get that in your mind. And if you are willing to place that in the hands of Jesus so he can break you and then send you out and use you, make your way to the altar. Only if you're willing. This is not an appeal for formality. This is an appeal for sincerity. Only if you're willing to be broken. If you're willing. If you're willing to be broken. If you're willing. If you're willing.